بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The honorable ulama, respected elders, dear brothers, hufaz of the Holy Quran, and young friends in Islam. At this moment in time, as we sit here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to offer a very, very important obligation and duty, that is the duty and obligation of Salatul Jumu'ah, with the relative safety, security, and the peaceful conditions that we find ourselves in, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala profusely for this great blessing. But at the same time, dear friends, our hearts and our thoughts and our minds should also be with our friends, our Muslim brothers, part of our ummah in the other parts of the world. Especially, we are speaking about England. At this time, the time of Salatul Jumu'ah, we should make fervent dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them safety and security, because it is under very tense conditions that the Muslims are even able to proceed for Salatul Jumu'ah in that part of the world. Last week already, according to the reports that we had, a large number of Muslim brothers could not attend the Salatul Jumu'ah. It was too risky and dangerous for many of them to undertake the journey to the masjid for the Salatul Jumu'ah. So, I would like to speak about the subject of the bombings that took place in London, because it is a very relevant and contemporary subject. And this is generally the demand from the ulama, that we like to hear things that are relevant and contemporary to our situation. So there are certain important aspects that we need to focus on as far as this bombing that took place in London is concerned. As far as we all know, and it is on the lips of everyone, that this bombing took place in the underground train system, and they say up to 52 people have already died, some of them who were Muslims as well. The whole world was obviously reeling in shock when this news and information reached the people of the world. And the first question that everyone asked was, who is responsible? And as it was expected, it didn't take a person to be a rocket scientist to expect what was to be said next. It was almost like a foregone conclusion. Within minutes, the speeches that followed by the so-called world leaders were already starting to point fingers in the direction of one community that has become the target around the world globally, and that was the Muslim community. Already it was predicted and it was seen that the Muslim community was implicated. Well, whether it is Muslims who are involved, day by day, the stories kept changing and new things were being unfolded by the hour. And finally now, the blame is being put squarely on so-called Muslim suicide bombers who were born and bred in the UK. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really knows the truth. And the truth inshallah, summa inshallah, will be exposed someday. It's just a matter of time. Falsehood does not remain forever. Falsehood will be vanquished and truth will prevail. This is the promise of Allah Rabbul Izzat in the Holy Quran. We find, my dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us categorically in the Holy Quran, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Batil, falsehood, lies by its very nature will be vanquished. But that is a matter of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when the truth will be revealed and the facts will come out to the people of the world. Who are the perpetrators of all of these type of attacks that are taking place globally? When a person asks the question, a simple question, that whenever anything like this happens, common sense, logic, compels us to ask one question. And that question that we always ask at a time like this is, who benefits the most from such type of things? There has to be a rationale. People don't just go about doing irrational things, stupid things, for no reason. Who is the beneficiary? Who benefits from this type of thing? And to whose maximum benefit is these type of events? If we ask those type of probing questions, deeper questions, it will draw us and it will lead us to certain conclusions. But whatever it may be at this moment in time, it is simply speculation, it is guesswork, and nobody will really know the truth. The truth will be concealed, it will be hid. The day will come, inshallah, when the truth will be exposed to the people of the world. We can't simply believe anything that we see or that we read, because already the world has been told many, many lies. And many of those lies that were said to the world are being exposed day by day. We all know about it, we read about it, we hear about it. But dear friends, that's not important for this moment in time. For this moment in time, what is most important is to discuss the aftermath, the implications for the Muslim community of the UK and for the Muslim community globally. There are certain very, very serious implications for the Muslim community in what has happened. Already, dear friends, we see what has happened in the UK, the implications. These are very, very difficult moments for the Muslims there. I already explained how difficult it is for them to go for the Salatul Jum'ah. As far as the masajid are concerned, an email I received yesterday already, and this is what people have got knowledge about, 13 masajid have been attacked in the UK already in the duration of this 1 week. Certain masajid were firebombed, other masajid had their windows broken. Some masajid had graffiti sprayed on them. There were certain masajid that received bomb scares just prior to Salatul Jum'ah or prior to some Salah times. Even to the extent that a Sikh temple was firebombed and it was burned down because it was mistaken to be a masjid. They could not distinguish between the Gurdwara or the temple of the Sikhs and a masjid. And it has happened in other countries also where Hindu temples, for example, were attacked. This is the type of situation that has arisen, the aftermath for the community. And at this moment in time, there have been hundreds of incidents of racist attacks against anyone that looked like a Muslim, especially those who are, stand out as Muslims in their dress, in their appearance, through their Islamic appearance, their beards, their kurtas, their topis. Muslim ladies with their niqabs, their hijabs, have been attacked. More than 70 cases have already been documented with such, and of course we can expect it to increase as the days go by. At this moment in time, we really need to make very, very fervent du'as for the people in that part of the world. Then may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them hifazat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them protection. And these dark days and dark nights that they are going through, may this period go past very quickly. And may inshallah it herald a bright dawn, a better future inshallah. And may it become a turning point for the Muslims in that part of the world. As it has been said many a times before, that har Karbala ke baad Islam zinda hota hai. Har Karbala ke baad Islam zinda hota hai. After every Karbala, after every dark period, Islam comes alive once more in the world, and it is in fact a revitalization of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the Muslims ease after moments of difficulty and hardship, as we have been informed in the Holy Quran. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. After every hardship comes ease. This has been mentioned twice in the Quran. This is to give double assurance to the Muslims that do not become despondent and do not despair. You may be going through a trying time now, but the ease that will follow after that will be much greater in comparison to what you are going through. But dear friends, I do not want to make this the sole discussion for today. What I would like to do at this moment in time is to turn the pages of history back for the Muslim community in the UK to an event that took place about 20 some odd years ago, and that was the opening of the Markaz in Dewsbury. Those who have gone to UK, they have visited Dewsbury, they have seen the Markaz. It is a huge complex in the heart of a land of disbelief, the heart of a land of kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been very kind that the Muslims of UK have been granted a huge, massive Markaz, which is a hive of activity. And alhamdulillah, a lot of deen work and Islamic awareness and consciousness is being created from this Markaz that we find in Dewsbury. Now, 20 years ago, or 20 some odd years ago, when this Markaz was established in Dewsbury, and they had the opening of the Markaz, they had a very, very eminent and leading scholar of the Muslim world, who is now late and who has passed on, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi, the great and renowned scholar of Islam, was the guest speaker at the opening of the Markaz. And Hazrat Maulana rahmatullahi alayhi made a very, very epic and remarkable speech at the time of the opening of the Markaz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows best what type of insight, foresight, and inner ilm and knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Hazrat Maulana Alimiya rahmatullahi alayhi with, that he made a speech 20 years ago that is most applicable, and that could have been a speech that could have been made at this moment in time. It has great lessons for the Muslim community, not only of the UK, but other Muslim communities who find themselves in a similar situation. Other Muslim communities who are minorities, living in a majority non-Muslim state, they find themselves in similar situations. And the advice of Maulana Alimiya rahmatullah alayhi is very, very relevant and applicable to the Muslim communities or Muslim minority communities around the world. Hazrat Maulana Alimiya rahmatullah alayhi commenced his speech by speaking about the importance of da'wah, and he spoke about the zeal of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam for da'wah. And he analyzed the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very, very brief synopsis, a summary of the da'wah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he drew the attention of the audience to a very important point. Maulana drew their attention to the point that in The first 20 years of the da'wah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is 13 years in Makkah and 7 years in Medina. The reversion to Islam or the attraction to Islam for the people of the Arabian Peninsula was very, very slow. Hardly many people entered the fold of Islam in the first 20 years or in the 20 years of the effort of da'wah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba-i Kiram. But in the last 3 years, when only 3 years remained in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a most remarkable phenomenon was witnessed, and that was, there was a huge influx of people entering the fold of Islam that was never witnessed before in the 20 years before this. So the scholars of Quran and Sunnah, the scholars of Seerah, the scholars of Hadith have probed into this phenomenon. And they asked deep questions. Why was it that in the earlier era, so few people came or were attracted to Islam? And in the latter part, when just 3 years remained in the life of beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was such a large influx of people entering the fold of Islam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, in the surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Hordes and hordes of people, armies and scores of people, delegation after delegation were entering into the fold of Islam. What was the reason for this? Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayh, who is a very eminent scholar of Islam, he analyzed this situation and he came up with an answer, a very unique analysis of the situation. And his answer was that the non-Muslims, it was only after the conquest of Makkah, which took place in the 70 of Hijri, when the back of Kufr was broken, that the non-Muslims had an opportunity to intermingle with the Muslims. They had an opportunity of dealing with them firsthand. Before that, there was a big gulf and chasm between the Muslims and non-Muslims. So all of the information was based on hearsay. And they were not able to experience firsthand the character, the conduct, the nobility, the good manners, the attributes, the qualities of the Muslim community. This is what kept them very far away from Islam. But after the conquest of Makkah, they had the opportunity to intermingle with the Muslims, and they were able to witness their honesty, fair dealings, compassion, and all the other good attributes. And that became the turning point, as a result of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened their hearts, and many, many hundreds, many thousands were given the tawfiq of seeing and the tawfiq of Iman and Islam. Maulana rahmatullah alayhi says that this incident contains abundant lessons on how Muslims should live in their countries. And he's speaking particularly, he said, in this country, referring to the UK. Their conduct should be so sublime and captivating that people who interact with them must immediately feel a magnetic attraction towards Islam. And they should feel an inclination towards the deen of truth. Maulana says that this type of activity and this type of projection of Islam, this is the safety factor for the Muslim minority in any part of the world that they may be living. Brothers, because the time is very, very limited and we have just a few minutes left, it will not be possible for me to read out the entire speech of Maulana, but I will focus on certain relevant and important aspects of his speech, and we will find in this that how true were the words of Maulana, what a relevant message he had left for the Muslims of the world. He says that as an ordinary student of Islam, It is my religious responsibility to warn you that if you do not lead an upright life, and if you continue to lead an insular lifestyle, that is, you fail to manifest the beauty of Islam to non-Muslims, then you face some real dangers in the countries that you are living in. In that case, there is no reason for you to feel content and secure in the country that you are living in. He says that if ever the fire of race, religion or nationalism raises its head in any of these countries, you will never be saved and you will not be spared. Maulana draws the attention of the audience to the lessons of Spain. He says in Spain, there were mosques 100 times more bigger and beautiful than the masjids that you have. Educational institutions much more magnificent and greater than what you have. Infrastructure like you could not imagine. This is what the Muslims of Spain enjoyed. But he says that what was the outcome and what was the result? It is something that everyone knows. We do not have to delve into the history of Spain and what happened to the Muslim community in Spain. Maulana says, oh brothers, earn your recognition in the country that you are living in. Earn your place and leave an imprint in the community that you are living in. Impart to them the lessons of humanity. If you decide to live in an enclosed environment, simply content with your fasting and your salah, apathetic to the people and society that you're living in, and not introducing to them the high Islamic values and your own akhlaq and character, then beware that if the flames of sectarianism have to flare up in that country, you will not find safety and protection in that country. Maulana says further on, reading excerpts from his speech, that if you remain preoccupied in eating and working, engaged in your prayers, remaining indifferent to what is happening in the country, insulated within the Muslim community, totally apathetic as to what is happening outside of the Muslim community, which direction the country is taking in such a situation, if there is trouble in that country, you will never be able to save yourselves. My dear brothers, look at the profundity of the message that Maulana has given and how aptly it fits Muslim minority communities in many parts of the world, including the UK. 20 years ago, he left them this message that if you are not going to reach out to the people and you are not going to make a place in the heart of the people and your entire occupation and your effort is going to be to accumulate wealth, to lead your own lifestyles, to be comfortable, to be content, to be isolated, to be insulated, and just to enjoy life, and to be unaware of the ground realities around you, then this type of dream world that you are living in is not going to last very long. It will come to a rude ending, and then you will find yourself in very, very difficult situations, and sometimes situations that you will be compelled to leave and go away elsewhere. Like we found after 9/11, this was 7/7, that 9/11 before this, hundreds and thousands of people were compelled to make hijrat and leave America, the country which they thought is going to be their homeland for generations to come. They were compelled to give everything up, sometimes just sell it away at a song and go back to the countries from which they had come, because they found themselves in a very, very difficult predicament. So brothers, in conclusion, the lesson that Maulana is leaving for us, please strengthen your position in your country. Earn your recognition. Do not be like a straw or crop that is uprooted by a small breeze. You should be so firm that even if a hurricane comes, it is unable to displace you. Display such noble character that you enslave the hearts of the local people around you. Then see for yourself that if there is a situation, these very people will stand up to defend you. If there is the slightest hostility towards you, they will be the first one to argue on your behalf. And they will be the first one to defend you from any kind of attack. And Maulana concluded, of course, with certain du'as, etc., at the end of his talk. My dear friends, I also conclude with the same words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up the eyes of the Muslim community in this country and elsewhere to the ground realities that face us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a lesson for all of us. May Allah give ease to the Muslim people in the UK in these dark moments. And may Allah ta'ala herald in better moments for them after this dark moments. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard and protect the izzat, the iman, the wealth, the saman, and everything of the Muslim community there, especially the Muslim women, the Muslim young girls, the Muslim children, the masajid, the madaris, etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us also hifazat, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not bring such moments on any community anywhere in the world. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.